A long-standing tradition for me on the Sunday following Christmas is not to preach except by means of using the words of another, reading a Christmas story of one kind or another that somehow captures some part of the essence of the Christmas story. Typically, I'm looking for a story that will warm the heart and maybe even sometimes draw a tear to the eye, but this year I was moved in a different direction, moved to hear a little bit of what Christmas can do to interrupt the normal order of life and to paint a picture for all of us of what the world might be like if God's grace and peace were fulfilled in their entirety. It is a story that comes to us from just about 99 years ago. It's this one, a true story. Many of you have heard the tale of an arbitrary ceasefire during World War I. Here are two accounts of that event. Reading from the London Times, January 2nd, 1915. An officer in the North Staffordshire Regiment writes on Christmas Eve, "We had been calling to one another for some time, Christmas wishes and other things. I went out and they shouted, 'No shooting!' And then somehow the scene became a peaceful one. All our men got out of their trenches and sat on the parapet. The Germans did the same. And they talked to one another in English and in broken English. I got up on top of the trench and talked German and asked them to sing a German song, which they did. Then our men sang quite well, and each side clapped and encored the other. I asked one German who sang a solo to sing one of Schumann's songs, so he sang The Two Grenadiers splendidly. Our men were a good audience and really enjoyed his singing. Then I walked across and held a conversation with the German officer in command. One of his men introduced us properly. He asked my name and then presented me to his officer. I gave the latter permission to bury some German dead who were lying in between us, and we agreed to have no shooting until 15 midnight tomorrow. We talked together 10 or more minutes. Germans gathered round. I was almost in their lines within a yard or so. We saluted each other, and he thanked me for permission to bury his dead. And we fixed up how many men were to do it, and that otherwise both sides must remain in their trenches. Then we wished one another good night, a good night's rest, and a happy Christmas, and parted with a salute. I got back to the trench. The Germans sang Die Wacht am Rhein. It sounded well. Then our men sang quite well, Christians Awake, and with a good night, we all got back into our trenches. At times, we heard the guns in the distance and an occasional rifle shot. I can hear them now, but about us is absolute quiet. I allowed one or two men to go out to meet a German or two halfway. They exchanged cigars or smokes and talked. The officer I spoke to hopes we shall do the same on New Year's Day. I said, yes, if I'm here. Of course, no precautions are relaxed, but I think they mean to play the game. All the same, I think I shall be awake all night so as to be on the safe side. It is weird to think that tomorrow night we shall be at it again hard. If one gets through this show, it will be a Christmas time to live in our memory. I'm just off for a walk around the trenches to see all is well. We had an absolutely quiet night in front of us, though just to our right and left there were some firings going on. In my trenches and in those of the enemy opposite to us were only nice big fires blazing, and occasional songs and conversation. This morning after Reveille, the Germans sent out parties to bury their dead. Our men went out and in groups began to talk and exchange gifts of tobacco, food, etc. All the morning we have been fraternizing, singing songs. I have been within a yard, in fact, onto their trenches and have spoken to and exchanged greetings with a colonel, staff officers, various other company officers. All were very nice. And we fixed up that the men should not go near their opponents' trenches but remain about midway between the lines. The whole thing is extraordinary. The men were all so natural and friendly. Several photos were taken, a group of German officers, a German officer and myself, and a group of British and German soldiers. The Germans are Saxons, a good-looking lot, only wishing for peace in a manly way, and they seem in no way at their last gasp. I was astonished at the easy way in which our men and theirs got on with each other. We have just knocked off for dinner and have arranged to meet again afterwards until dark when we go in again and have songs until 9 p.m. when war begins again. I wonder who will start the shooting. They say, fire in the air and we will, and such things. But of course it will start. And tomorrow we shall be at it hard, killing one another. The second officer, this one from the Highland Regiment, wrote similarly on December 28th. You need not have pitied us on Christmas Day. I have seldom spent a more entertaining one despite the curious conditions. We were in the trenches, and the Germans began to make merry on Christmas Eve, shouting at us to come out and meet them. They sang songs very well. Our men answered by singing, "Who were you with last night?" and, of course, "Tipperary," very badly. I was horrified at discovering some of our men actually had gone out, imbued more with the idea of seeing the German trenches than anything else. They met halfway. And there ensued the giving of cigarettes and receiving of cigars, and they arranged the private soldiers of one army and the private soldiers of the other a 48 hours armistice. It was almost irregular. But the Peninsula and other wars will furnish many such examples. Eventually, both sides were induced to return to their respective trenches, but the enemy sang all night, and during my watch, they played "Home, Sweet Home." And "God Save the King" at 2:30 a.m. It was rather wonderful. The night was clear, cold, and frosty. And across to our lines at this usually miserable hour of night came the sound of such tunes very well played, especially by a man with a cornet who is probably well known. Christmas Day was very misty, and out came those Germans to wish us a happy day. We went out, told them we were at war with them, and that really they must play the game and pretend to fight. They went back, but again attempted to come towards us, so we fired over their heads. They fired a shot back to show they understood, and the rest of the day passed quietly in this part of the line. But in others, a deal of fraternizing went on. So there you are. All this talk of hate, all this fury at each other that has raged since the beginning of the war, quelled and stayed by the magic of Christmas. Indeed, one German said, "But you are of the same religion as me, and today is the day of peace." It is really a great triumph for the church. It is a great hope for future peace when two great nations, hating each other as foes have seldom hated, one side vowing eternal hate and vengeance and setting their venom to music, should on Christmas Day, and for all that that word implies, lay down their arms exchange smokes, and wish each other happiness. Beyond all this, the day itself was rendered impossible for war by mist. So altogether, I expect, we had a better time than all you poor things at home, who were probably bothering your heads thinking of the chances of war and the discomfort of trenches. Next year, pray God, we will all be round the fire and at peace. Amen.